Hell yeah, we can challenge for a league title.
I think the problem is, though, Steve, I'm getting frustrated at saying that I think we've played well and we lose the game, because we're making too many mistakes at the moment.
What's up, TFOs? Danny Brams here. Finally back on the mic here at Charlotte Soccer Show. You just heard Dean Smith say too many mistakes. And if you're a fan of the show, which we appreciate being a friend of the show, you're saying not enough episodes as the flip side of that, because we have not been gathered together for a while. The crazy month of May, as the fixtures pile up, it's harder to keep up and do the episodes, because it's like, well, do we move John and I, do we move heaven and earth and our other professional personal lives to do an episode that's only going to have a few hours shelf life? Sometimes it's tough to be motivated to do that. But we are back with an episode today. I've got another Apple guest on deck. Can't wait to introduce him. It's a returning guest from last year back on the show. If you look at the show notes, you probably already know. But if you're just watching this blind, we'll keep the suspense for just a minute as I play a quick sound bite before we introduce our guest from a kid who has made quite a splash as he returns to Toronto this weekend. He's now on Charlotte FC, started his career with Toronto. Dakiel Marshall Ruddy was asked at his media availability earlier this morning about sort of the wave that Charlotte's been on, how the losses that have piled up in May. And we're going to talk about all of that. Here's what Dakiel thought, and then we will have our guest.
Yeah, I think it's important, for us to end this last game on a high. I think that's the most important, to go into the break, with a good feeling. Obviously, we had that good win at home against Columbus, which, we had a good feeling about, and then kind of had a setback in New York. But I think ending this long phase with a win and just a good performance from the group will really help us in our confidence. But yeah, it's a well-needed break, but yeah, it's the job. We knew we had a tough May, so I think just ending it off in the best way possible will really help us going into June.
And that is the mission: end the May miasma on a high note. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Neil Sika from Apple MLS Season Pass, the voice that you hear calling so many games this season, absolutely crushing it. Sits in a booth many times with our friend of the show, Lloyd Sam, well known here in Charlotte. We would love to get some Lloyd stories from you, Neil. I don't have a embarrassing cringe video to introduce you with this time like we did last year. But you've had a great career, and we love listening to you call games. You're one of my favorites, personally, I'll just say. Love to hear you on a call. We're going to hear some of your calls from the goals against Red Bulls a little bit later in the show. And with that, Neil Sika, welcome.
Danny, thanks for that lovely intro. If we did a Lloyd story show, it would probably take about 3 hours. It would take the whole month of May. So we may have to wait on that, but it's great to be back with you. Boy, this month has just been a blur with all these games, and now you get into a little bit of time off from MLS, but all the other tournaments that are going on, it's nonstop. It's an avalanche.
Yeah, I call it on the graphic here for those watching on YouTube. Thank you. Make sure and like and subscribe. If you're just listening on audio, there is a graphic on the screen right now that says Charlotte FC's May miasma, which is a bit of a $3 word from me, but I do like my vocab, so I threw that in there. It's just been kind of a losing streak. Ups and downs. The win against Columbus, as Jaquiel mentioned, was huge. But you saw just the other night, Neil, as you called the game against Red Bulls, this is just not the same team that we've been used to watching. What has happened to the defense of Charlotte FC? This was the best defense in the league last year, and now they're just giving up cheap, easy goals. Dean Smith said it was not difficult for the Red Bulls to score their goals on Wednesday night. We gave it up to them pretty easily, and the penalties are out of character to surrender. What did you see from the booth, and what do you think about this team as far as what's wrong?
Yeah, that's a multi-layered question, and I think we did reference the fact that, above all that, with everyone looking at what the attack could be or the names in the attack, and now you take this defense that gave up 37 goals with a lot of the same personnel, and I understand Tim Ream's been injured. He's a big part of, at least defensively, locking things down for a group that was so good last year. And everyone's going to point to the Kalina mistakes and some of the goals that have been given up, especially during the course of the losing streak. But, there's an element, too, with them possessing the ball a little bit more, or at least in fashion this season compared to what they did last year. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're a little looser or a little gappier at times or turn off. I think that the Red Bulls game, though, I think going into that, looking at the lineup the Red Bulls were playing, which was basically a U.S. Open Cup group, and thinking right away, we've come off this game against Columbus. We've beaten one of the best teams in the league. We ourselves think we can still be a top four, a top five team in the East. Like, go out and impose your will in the first 20 to 30 minutes. It's not easy to do in the rain and in a building that they haven't played well in traditionally. It's funny how just the lineage of matchups in the league. We were talking before we started. Columbus has never won in Charlotte.
Right.
And I figured that that game was ripe for the picking for the Crown to get back on the winning track, which they did. It wasn't easy to do so, but made enough of the plays to do that in that game. And then Sports Illustrated Stadium, Red Bull Arena, has kind of been a house of horrors. But I think from that game in particular, the fact that Bogaerts, kind of an unknown quantity, and he's making the run in behind, and that was a great goal. And Mohamed Sofo should be on everyone's radar now with the way this kid's playing, but that touch off a corner, it's a set piece. You know, you should thrive in this situation with that center back partnership, because by all conceivable thoughts, like, Milan is having a better season statistically, but there's just some disconnect from game in and game out and turn off. And I think it's just these small attentions to detail that are killing this team, especially when it comes up to giving pivotal goals. I mean, they had just tied the game. And you come right back and they score that goal. So I think that's still their identity at heart. I mean, it was being a tough team to beat. Dean Smith said that's from day one.
100%.
So somewhere along that, get back to that identity, because there's still enough talent and match winners that can make a difference. And you saw a little bit of that in Columbus game, going a little old school with more of the transition.
Yeah, I totally agree that it's sort of just little moments of individual mistakes and just loss of focus and things like that. That you mentioned the Sofo goal that was scored off a set piece. I think Zaha was the original one who tried to clear that and completely kept the ball in play. I mean, it's two outside of the foot finishes that are beating Kalina inside his post. I mean, it is a little bit unfortunate, but we did give him up soft. The penalties, I thought, were soft. And I don't know, is it a situation where, do you think Charlotte can sort of recreate this identity that you've mentioned, how they're sort of Charlotte, you've noticed, I've heard other commentators say, you know, Charlotte shifting its identity from a counterattacking team to a more possessing team. Is that something that you think is worthwhile, or should they get back to what you said Dean Smith said at the beginning, which is just keeping it basic and being tough to beat?
Look, I think there's plenty of season to do. They've shown enough good, even in kind of their evolution or advancements, but don't get away maybe from what made you really good. And maybe there was some other things. There's been a lot of noise with Wilfred and his body language at times. And everyone's been so driven to see him play at such a high level. And he's popped up in some of these great scenarios and arguably had his best game against Columbus. But I think the Red Bulls are also a perfect example of this, Danny. Like, they've possessed more under Sandro Schwartz. And yet when they get to the Piranha-like press and what they've been known for basically over a decade, that's where they're really good in winning the ball back quickly after losing it, or field position without the ball in the way they want to play. I think you need control of games in some aspects probably to go far and win some sort of a trophy. It's kind of evident across the league the way it's gone. I think the last real counterattacking team we saw win an MLS Cup might have been Colorado 15 years ago in 2010.
Okay, yeah. Well, I read an article, I think it was Matt Doyle's article this week, that said a similar point to what you just said.
Yeah, exactly.
He said Seattle 2018 might have counted.
Yeah, that, and but there's all these elements that allow you to be advanced in how you play in this day and age, just because of the nature of the roster and how much more talented they were even 10, 15 years ago. But before drifting into that topic, I think this is where you've seen some of these small adjustments from teams like Charlotte or the Red Bulls. And I think for the Crown in particular, like, it's got to start with the guys on the field. Like, they know they're capable of defending like they did last year. I don't think you want to completely throw out your identity and personality with the roster you have this season compared to last year, or at least the pieces that you've added, but you still have a half a season to go. And I think this is a good time over this course of the next five games, starting Wednesday on the road, where you're going to have this group together. Now, granted, they're, you're not going to be gone for that long of a time, but you're not going to play a home game. So it's, right, it's a window for everyone to kind of really dig in and come out going into July when you return back to the bank. And I think that's the place where you need to return it to. It was almost impossible. And there have been a couple of leaks. The Chicago game got off the rails at the end of that night. So it's a pretty simple formula for me when I look at this team, because there's enough talent in it that they can contend for a home playoff place.
Yeah, I've called up graphically on the screen for those that are just listening. I got the table here, and also some Charlotte recent results, the May miasma that I identified, as you see, just a lot of red on the ledger there for Charlotte on this graphic. But it wasn't long ago, Neil. It was just a month. It was a month ago. Charlotte was sitting at number one in the East, and now all of a sudden they're down at nine, just barely clinging into a play-in game into the playoff tournament, the MLS Cup tournament, and the teams that they're ahead of but have multiple games in hand. So this is not, and they're both teams that have beaten Charlotte. So none of this is looking good right now for Charlotte, as we sit poised to enter sort of like a little bit of a lull in the schedule, and the cadence of games is slowing down. What do you see as far as how can Charlotte right the ship here and sort of improve the way this graphic looks a month from now, let's say?
Well, not many games. I mean, I'm looking at their schedule, and there's some teams that are pretty good on there, and there's some teams that I think that we're at the point of the season, and I've always liked to say this throughout my MLS tenure, if you're going to be a real contender or a good team, you beat the teams below you in the standings, especially in the back half of the year. And you've got Toronto FC right away to start this Saturday before you go into a two-week break, and then you've got to go to Philadelphia, you've got to go Kansas City, Chicago. And I think, well, you can win all of those games, but looking on paper, Kansas City and Chicago, you know, Chicago game, that's a game they could have won at home had things gone a little bit differently. Kansas City's played better under Kerry Zavagnin, but I don't still feel that they've got the personality traits of someone I would fear if I'm this roster, because I think it's a better one going on the road to win at Kansas City. So, I think they're going to be fine. I just, it would be nice if you come out of this week and say, all right, we're going to take 6 points out of a possible nine, because Toronto has basically been an open invitation for a cocktail party every time an opponent has gone up.
Yeah,
there.
It's kind of a must-win situation.
A little bit better, but you know, with their roster and just kind of this mode of how they're coming out in the first season under Robin Fraser, I think this is a game that Charlotte needs to show and win. And the question now is, you put a lot of the players that played against Columbus and then went full against the Red Bulls in another game against the team that had rotated. You know, what does the rotation look like for a game like that, especially when your fullbacks have basically been out all season? I think Shaquille Marcerotti's done a great job, like, lifeline of the attack on that left side. He's more of a wing back by trade. They're working on his defensive prowess. I think that continues to get better. Scardina, for what they have on the roster, is held down the fort by and large. With Nathan.
He's been okay.
Yeah, he's been okay.
He's earned praise. He's earned a lot of praise because he's forced into play.
He's been very serviceable. I think
he's shown us just how good Nathan Byrne was, I feel.
I mean, that's a 15-year pro in England, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. People that took Byrne for granted might not so much anymore.
Yeah, but ultimately it goes back to a lot of the little things. And I think when you're forcing the issue and the way Charlotte plays, at least to make BL comfortable and on the ball more, it's what's Ashley Westwood and Bronico doing in terms of the running. And you know, Bronico obviously didn't play in that game. You know that. And that's a big, we've hit on it a couple of times. That's a big miss, especially when the players they have in that midfield with Stroud and Edelman are relentless. You need a guy like a runner, like a Bronico, who can go toe to toe with them. So that was a huge miss. Getting him back and having him for this game, I think is very important for them. And, you know, you also have to figure out the fact, like, Adjuman's been playing awesome, right? Mm-hmm. And the Red Bulls had a great game plan and adjusted. and didn't allow those runs in behind.
Right.
Which made him so lethal in the Columbus game and really for this stretch. But then what did Dean Smith do? He brought in Tiger Smalls, who has the pace, and all of a sudden immediately exposed, you get a goal there. So I don't think the instability of Toronto's back line, I think you could be looking your chops and maybe go with a pacier group that could give that back line some problems going into the game this weekend. But I think it's a game that you'll feel disappointed, even if we always say road draws are good, but if you don't walk away after what you did on what happened Wednesday with three, then it's going to be a little bit more of an annoying feeling over the next couple of weeks before they play again.
Yeah, and it is. It is Charlotte FC on the road, so we don't know. There's one last topic I want to kind of get into. Thanks so much for all your thoughts on the defense, but in the attack, there is a position battle that's been lingering. The DP, Lee Alabada, has been starting from the bench the last couple of matches as Kerwin Vargas has been resurgent. So funnily enough, both guys scored, excuse me, goals in the midst of this battle in a game that you called. So let's play those highlights, and then I want to get your thoughts.
Sure. Nice. Along with Marshall Ruddy, the last piece of action. Now it's Vargas, and Kerwin Vargas takes care of it for the crown. All even at one, right before the half hour. The good football was done already by the DPs there. Well, Pep Biel, not a DP, but playing like one. And Vargas finishes it off. It's a good pattern of play from Charlotte. Haven't seen much of this. All guys in good form. It's a great ball. And running over the top is Smalls. Kick save is there from Coronel, but Abada bangs it home to bring the crown within one. Great ball from Ashley Westwood. He hits it in a way that the ball slows down a little bit and it's easier to control. It's a good save. Well followed up from the substitute, Leo Abada. That sub should have been made earlier, and he's come on. And he's put it into the back of the net. It's a good move from Charlotte.
That sub should have been made earlier. I don't know.
That was good. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, well, hey, it's what I do. I should be decent enough. Good goals to be scored, not necessarily the prettiest, most beautiful goals, but both coming at the end of nice plays and just sort of that fact that the goals were scored as cleaning up the trash, if you will, doesn't discount the moves that led to them. So what do you see when you look at these two wingers in this position battle that's been going on?
I think it's a matter of their youth and confidence on a regular basis. I mean, Kerwin's a guy that's been around here now for a while. And for him to have a goal like that, I said it right here in the recap, like he played the nine in Portugal. So little fox in the box type traits to
the assist from Adjemong there.
That's right. The excuse me.
You'll take that. Right off the left cheek, to the left foot.
It's a sloppy night and a sloppy play. Get in on that. And here's the Smalls impact right away, stretching the back line with the pace. This is a classic Abada goal. This is what he did in Celtic, crashing the back post, the late runs in, kind of finding the scraps, if you will.
You can see him sort of like get his eyes must have gotten real big as he's sprinting in there down the wing. It's not a lack of effort play whatsoever. It's not an accident he scored this.
No, and I look, even if a guy like Ajiman's in the game, if he's got his hold up play, and that's an area that I know that they're working with him on to outside of the runs right off the back shoulder, like if he holds it up better and then creates out of that a little bit more, well, then you get players crashing the box around that. And that's where I think Abada can make a little bit more hay because of just the inconsistent scoring nature. Now, he ended up with a nice season last year. And then you get the fact that he's got five goals now this year. Is it four or five? Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So you're maybe looking for a guy, one of those guys. I'm not saying Vargas is going to be a 10-10 player. I think maybe Abada has that in him a little bit more. He's a young DP. I mean, why you brought him in, but you need depth from that position. And I think for both of those guys, the secondary scoring was often a big question for the team last year throughout cases of the season. And more importantly, it takes more attention away from Zaha, who's obviously going to be double teamed and isolated on many occasions. So I think it's great that both of them scored, even in a kind of a scrappy type nature, a greasy goal type nature. But, right now, I just think based off of the synergy of that Columbus game and the way Vargas had played. And I think Vargas has looked good in the substitute role. I thought he was dangerous. The last game we had was a home game against Nashville and that scary incident with Zimmerman. But I think both players need to feel pressure from each other. So one and one scoring maybe keeps that up on a high level because you want them both playing at their best. And whether one guy takes it or not, now you can have a real debate about it. And I think Abad is the long-term plan there, the solution for the back half of the season. But I've liked Kerwin Vargas, at least offensively, when I've watched him play on a regular basis.
Yeah, all good thoughts. And I think that most important thing that I heard you say there was it's great that they're pushing each other because you need guys' depth and you need guys feel – you don't want anyone feeling complacent or feeling safe, like they don't have to bring it for their place in the team. So that is all well and good. Neil Sika, thank you so much for your time today. We are going to wrap this up. But it's Charlotte at Toronto. You are not on the call for this one, but we always love to hear you calling our games. So hopefully maybe bring a little bit better luck. You have called wins for us before, though. So
I have. We did Charlotte games last season, of course. And I love coming to the city and interacting with the fans. And it's one of my favorite stops in the league for sure. So
you're always welcome here. Send us out, if you don't mind, with our catchphrase, for the crown, baby, please.
For the crown, baby. Thanks for having me on, Danny.